polished brass and dress uniforms, combat boots and battle fatigues, two outfits that might come to mind when you hear the word army. But outfits like those have no place in the most powerful army, as you'll see today on Grace to You. Welcome to this Thursday Grace to You broadcast. Today, John MacArthur continues one of his all-time most popular studies, a comprehensive look at the supernatural realm, namely a look at God, Satan, and angels. And the focus today is on number three in the group, the angels. Now, you might be wondering about the value of a lesson on this topic. Well, one good reason is to dispel the myths about angels so widely spread in the entertainment media. Another thought, one day Christians will have authority over the angels, a good reason to understand them. And frankly, it's important to be able to answer questions like, do angels help you today like they helped God's people in Bible times? John MacArthur will look into those issues today and in the days ahead. Let's join him now as he shines biblical light on God's powerful, invisible army.
In his book, Angels, God's Secret Agents, Billy Graham says this. It's a helpful statement. I am convinced that these heavenly beings exist and that they provide unseen aid on our behalf. I do not believe in angels because someone has told me about a dramatic visitation from an angel, impressive as such rare testimonies may be. I do not believe in angels because UFOs are astonishingly angel-like in some of their reported appearances. I do not believe in angels because ESP experts are making the realm of the spirit world seem more and more plausible. I do not believe in angels because of the sudden worldwide emphasis on the reality of Satan and demons. I do not believe in angels because I have ever seen one, because I haven't. I believe in angels because the Bible says there are angels. And I believe the Bible to be the true Word of God. That's a helpful statement, isn't it? And that pulls it right down to where it belongs. We believe in them because the Bible mentions them 273 times. And when our study is complete, I really feel you're going to have a clear, meaningful knowledge of these wondrous, powerful, holy, beautiful creatures who serve God and serve us. And so the existence of angels is fairly well established. Now let's look secondly at the origin of angels. Once upon a time, there were no angels. Now, what does that mean to you? That angels were what? Created. They're creatures. Colossians 1:16 says, for by him, talking about Christ, by him were all things created, that are in heaven, that are in earth. Now, watch this. Visible and what? Invisible. Now, there have been some things created in heaven. You say, well, what are they? Angels. You say, well, I can understand the things in earth, that's us. And I can understand the things that are visible, that's us. But the invisible things in heaven, what are they? Those are angels. And here are different names for angels. Thrones, dominions, principalities, powers. All things created by him, for him. He created angels. And they're called by different terms. Thrones, dominions, principalities, powers are also called authorities. Those are names of angels, ranks of angels in the invisible army. And the invisible army is organized. I'm telling you, that army is super organized. It's all cataloged and ranked. They were made by God. It says right there, they were created by the Lord Jesus Christ. Back in Nehemiah chapter 9 and verse 6, I'll show you a couple of passages here. Nehemiah 9:6. Thou, even thou, art Lord alone. Now listen, thou hast made heaven, the heaven of heavens, with all their host. And there is the idea that God created not only heaven, but those who occupy it, the angels, and the earth, and all the things that are in it. You've made heaven and everything in it. You've made earth and everything in it. That is, you've created angelic creatures and earthly creatures. Now, Psalm 148, verse 2. Praise ye him, all his angels. Praise ye him, all his hosts. Praise ye him, sun and moon. Praise him, all ye stars of light. Praise him, ye heaven of heavens, and ye waters that are above the heavens. Let them praise, that's clouds, let them praise the name of the Lord. Watch, for he commanded, and they were created. Angels, in verse 2, they were created by the command of God, just like everything else, like the clouds and the earth and the sun and the moon and everything else. Now, it's clear from just those passages that angels were created. Another indication, I think, is in 1 Timothy, don't look this up, I'll just mention it. 1 Timothy 6:15 says, the King of kings and Lord of lords, who only has immortality. The only immortal being who ever exists is whom? God. And if God is the only one who has immortality, then angels don't, right? They were created. They had to be created. That's 1 Timothy 6:15 and 16. You say, John, when were they created? Well, I don't know when. They were created apparently before time began. They were created before man and the earth because they had fallen by Genesis chapter 3, hadn't they? So that Satan could be in the garden already to tempt Eve. But in Job 38:7, it says, when the morning stars sang together and all the sons of God shouted for joy. Now, what are all these angels singing about? What are all these angels shouting about? I'll tell you what they're shouting about. Verse 4, where wast thou when I laid the foundations of the earth? Declare if you have understanding. Who hath laid the measure of it, if you know? Who hath stretched the line? Whereupon are its foundations fastened? Or who laid its cornerstone when the morning stars sang together? You see, you've got the angelic host singing and shouting at the creation, so they had to be created before the creation. So they predate the earth. Now, there was no procreation among angels. There aren't mother and father angels and a whole lot of little angels. They were all directly created by God. They have no capacity to reproduce. In Matthew chapter 22, when our Lord was discussing this very issue, he put it simply this way. Jesus answered and said unto them, you do err, not knowing the scriptures nor the power of God, for in the resurrection they neither marry nor are given in marriage, but are like the angels of God in heaven. The angels of God in heaven don't marry and they're not given in marriage. That's what he's saying. There is no procreation. God instantly commanded, just think of it, people, just think of this. God instantly commanded and millions of creatures came into existence, each one independently created. They do not reproduce. There is no increase in the number. They do not die, so there's no decrease. The only change came when Revelation 12:4 says Satan come out of heaven like a dragon and his tail took a third of the stars with him. Apparently a third of those angels fell and became demons, but they're all going to live forever. Some in hell, some in heaven. Amazing angels created instantly by God and everyone created independent of another. You know what I believe? I believe they're like snowflakes. I don't believe any two are alike. People always want to say, well, what are the angels like? I suppose whenever you see a scene, ever notice this? Any kind of a painting, all the angels look the same. All the angels look the same. You see a whole string of angels. They're just like bang, 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 like rubber stamp angels. They all look like God said, okay, I'll take a million with this thing and that and bang, you know, and there they all were. All the cherubim, boom, all came out looking the same. No. I don't believe that. And another thing that I believe, and we'll get into this as we study, I believe that in a sense they were created in the image of God. They were created with capacities that we understand, like intelligence and emotion and will. And they were created as individual as every one of them. I believe that God, by one command out of his mouth, spoke into being millions of creatures that occupy the universe, and every one of them was different than every other one. Listen, if God does it with snowflakes, he could do it with angels. Millions of them. They were unique. People say, well, how many were there? How many are there? They're the same. They've been around a long time. They've seen a lot of things. How many were there when God made them? How many are there now? Same amount. It's hard to know how many. It doesn't tell us how many. There's a whole lot of talk and speculation about it. Let me just give you some thoughts, though. At the birth of Christ, it says there appeared a multitude of the heavenly host, right? Singing and praising God and saying, I should say. There was a multitude. Now, that wasn't all of them. That was just part of them in Luke 2. At his arrest, Jesus said, if I wanted to, I could call on what? 12 legions. In the Old Testament, one angel slew 185,000. Now, some say, well, boy, how many legions are there? I don't know how many legions there are. Now, other people have offered an interesting possibility. Matthew 18:10. Jesus here is talking about his own and how he loves them and how he cares for them. He says an interesting thing. Take heed, Matthew 18:10, and he's been talking about little children in the passage. Take heed that you despise not one of these little ones, for I say unto you that in heaven, here's the interesting phrase, their angels do always behold the face of my Father who is in heaven. Don't mess with these little kids, because the angels assigned to them keep reporting in what's going on. What, isn't that interesting? Do you mean everybody's got a group of angels assigned to them? Well, if that's true, some say that there have to be at least as many angels as there are people. And if it's a plural there, there's got to be more angels than people. That would mean there's billions of them, if you take that theory. It's a theory. It's not fact. I don't know. Others say, no, there are the same number of angels as there are stars. You say, how many stars are there? That doesn't help at all. We know this, there's at least billions, right? At least billions. They say, why would they equate them with the stars? Because often the terms are used interchangeably. They're called the heavenly host, and sometimes the stars are called the heavenly host. And so they're used interchangeably. But there is one verse that helps us to get some idea, and I don't think this is even all, but it's a stab at it. Revelation 5. Now, just think about this, folks. This is a lot of angels. And I beheld and I heard the voice of many angels. Now, does it say I heard the voice of all the angels? I heard the voice of most of the angels. I heard the voice of almost all the angels. No, just of what? Just many. Just a few, you know, some of the many. And how many were there? And the number of them was 10,000 times 10,000 and thousands of thousands. And you say, well, is that how many, what percentage? I have no idea, folks, but there's plenty. I believe that there are billions of angels all over the place in the universe. In Hebrews 12:22, we put the issue to rest. This is what it says. You are come to Mount Zion and to the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, and to an innumerable company of angels. Too many to be what? Counted. Can't number them beyond counting. Think of it. Think of it. Millions of angels. Beautiful, mighty, performing the commands of God, sweeping with great speed through the heavens and the earth, better organized than the armies of Caesar, the armies of Alexander or Napoleon or Patton or anybody else. Cherubim, seraphim, living creatures, thrones, dominions, principalities, authorities, powers. The archangel Michael, the warrior, the champion, the supporting Gabriel, all of this fantastic host of angelic beings, called in the scripture sons of the mighty in Psalm 89:6, called sons of God in Job, called gods as they are literally attached to the supernatural divine level, called holy ones in Psalm 89. They're called stars in Job 38:7, called princes in Daniel 10, these fantastic beings. And all that mighty army created by God in a split second as he wished them into existence. What a God. What a creative God. You study the Bible and you'll find them in the third heaven. The third heaven is where God lives. You'll find them in the second heaven, traversing the universe. You'll find them in the first heaven, which is the atmosphere of the earth. They're in every one of those strata in the revelation of God. Sometimes they're before the throne of God. Sometimes they're in transit, like Daniel chapter 10. In Revelation 4 and 5, they're by the throne of God. In Daniel 10, they're in transit through the universe. And many times they're on the earth. We see it all throughout the Old and the New Testament, don't we? Angels in earth mingling with men. Fantastic beings. I'm going to close with some thoughts on what they're like. Thirdly, the nature of angels. Just quickly, let me give you this. What are they like? First of all, they're personal. They are personal. You say, you mean that they're not just sort of supernatural robots? No. They're persons. They have personality. You say, well, what are the attributes that make up personality? Intelligence, emotion, and will. You say, are angels intelligent? They're intelligent, all right. They certainly are intelligent. In Ezekiel 28:12, in describing Lucifer, the son of the morning, who was the highest of angels, it says he was the sum of beauty and full of wisdom. Angels are intelligent. In Matthew 28:5, the angel answered and said to the women, "Fear not, I know that you seek Jesus who was crucified." That angel figured out what they were doing. He was intelligent. Intelligence communicates. It has conversations. It talks. In Revelation 17, it is very clear that angels understand the plan of God. They unfold it. There came one of the seven angels in 17 who had the seven bowls and talked with me. And this is what he said. "Come here and I'll show you something." That's intelligence, the ability to communicate. Now, they don't know everything. They're not omniscient like God. In fact, in 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 12, it says that the gospel is something which angels desire to look into. There are some things they don't understand. There are some things they have not yet knowledge in, but they're intelligent. Their intelligence is limited, but they're intelligent. Secondly, they have emotion. I know they have emotion because in Job 38:7 it says they sang together. And singing is a response to emotion, is it not? They have the emotion of joy. You know that the angels respond when one soul comes to Christ? There is joy in heaven over one sinner that repents. They experience joy. Another thing that I think is an emotion is worship. And angels, for example, in Isaiah 6, what were they doing? They were standing there, the seraphim, with their feet covered with two wings, and with two wings they'd fly, and two wings covered their face, and they cried out, "Holy, holy, holy." That's an expression of worship, and that's an emotion. So angels have the capacity for emotion, and that's a trait of personality. And thirdly, they have the capacity for self-determination or will. God appeals to their wills. For example, in Hebrews 1:6, and again, he brings in the first begotten into the world. He says, "And let the angels of God worship him." He says, angels worship that child that is born. The very fact that he invites the angels to do something indicates they had a will to do it. In fact, that's how Satan got into trouble, wasn't it? "I will, I will, I will, I will, I will," five times in Isaiah 14. So they're a personality. They're not just sort of ethereal, aerial spirits floating around without personality, sort of a squishy robot. They are persons. They have personality. Every one is different from every other one. They're unique. And they're different from men. And that's obvious. Because it says in Hebrews 2 that Jesus Christ became a man and was made a little lower than what? Than the angels. They occupy a higher state than we do, for this time anyway. Someday we're going to rule over angels, 1 Corinthians 6:3 says. We'll rule the angels. In Christ we'll be exalted. Why? Because we'll be joint heirs with Christ. We'll be equal with Christ in his inheritance. We are in Christ. We are one spirit with Christ. So we in the kingdom and we in eternity will reign over angels because we'll reign with Christ. Remember in Revelation he says, "You'll sit with me in my throne." But for this age and for this time, we are a little lower than the angels. They're different than we are. Now, both of us are creatures, both limited by time and space, both dependent on God for existence and well-being, both responsible to God and accountable to him, yet we differ. Now, do you know that their life and their world is just as involved and just as active and just as complex as ours is? And it's going on all around us. The difference is we can't see it, but they can see ours. They are spirits, and that's the key difference. Hebrews 1:14, are they not all ministering spirits? And verse 13 says he's talking about the angels. Are they not all ministering spirits? People say, do the angels have bodies? No, they're spirits. They do not have fleshly bodies like we do. But listen, is your body your personality? No, your personhood is in your body. And angels are the person without the flesh and blood that we know. You say, well, do they have some kind of stuff that, what are they? Are they a sheet or, you know, with nothing under it, we think of a ghost? What are they? Well, you know what I believe? I believe they have some kind of localized capacity. I think they're something. They're a spirit something. It isn't a material fleshly body like ours, but they have spatial limitations. They're not like God. God is a spirit, right? but God is everywhere. Is that true? Omnipresent. His spirit fills infinity. Angelic spirits are sort of little spirits, and they're stuck in one spot at a time, and they got to go places, which means they have some kind of form. It's a form that I can't see and perceive, but nevertheless, they have some kind of form. They fly through the heaven in Daniel 9 and Daniel 10. They're shooting around up there, having arguments in space. They're going from one place to the next. They also have time limitations. Now, they're often pictured with wings. Now, I'm not convinced that those are literal wings, but that those wings represent speed, that they are symbols of swift obedience, that angels fly to obey the will of God, that they are swift to obey the will of God. Not so much that they're literally flying beings as that in their spirit capacity they can move, and they speedily move in obedience to God. Now, I don't know what kind of form they have, but I believe they have some kind of thing, and someday we'll be able to go up and say, so that's what it is. But I don't know. That's when we get to heaven. But in the meantime, I don't know. You say, well, what makes you think they have anything like that? Well, 1 Corinthians 15:44 makes me think that, because it says this. There's a natural body and a spiritual body. Oh, a natural body and a spiritual body. Well, they must have a spiritual body. Then they don't have a natural one. They have some kind of spiritual, celestial bodies. Now, when they do appear, and sometimes God chooses to let them be manifest, they always appear as a man. There's a possibility of one exception, but it's only a possibility. We don't have enough evidence in interpreting the passage to be sure. But every other occasion, they always appear in a masculine form. So sometimes they do, like in Genesis 18, you remember, and Genesis 19, when the angels came to visit Abraham and when they went to the city of Sodom, they were just handsome men. They sat down with Abraham. They ate. They walked. They talked. They were made visible and took on some kind of visible form. In Matthew 28:3, the angel that appeared there, it says his countenance was like lightning and his raiment was as white as snow. His face was like the sun, like lightning. Now, that's unusual. And sometimes they appear as men. Sometimes they appear as very unusual men. But whenever they appear, their presence produces amazing effects. Mental turmoil came on Mary when Gabriel announced the news of the virgin birth. She was shaken. When Zechariah was told that he was going to have a son by the angel, he panicked and terror gripped his heart. Luke 1. The shepherds to whom the angelic messenger announced the birth of Christ, it says they were sore afraid. They panicked when they saw this host of beings. The Roman soldiers, it says in Matthew 28, who saw the angel roll back the stone, fell over and became like what? Like dead men when they saw that angel. Now, these are different beings. And when they're around, strange responses occur because it's a trip into the other world, so to speak. Something very abnormal.
There's much more you need to know about God's invisible army, the angels, so keep listening to John MacArthur here on Grace to You. The title of the current series, God, Satan, and Angels. Well, on a recent broadcast, you may have heard John read some letters from folks around the globe who are growing spiritually from hearing this radio broadcast in their country. While God has opened many doors to us, we don't cover the whole globe with radio, yet John through other channels, our Bible teaching is being heard regularly and with great impact.
Yeah, Carl, and it's increasing. And what you're talking about is basically internet radio broadcasts and podcasts of all things. Wow, what a wonderful new opportunity that is. Here's a letter from Alan in Makati City in the Philippines. Dear John, how can I say thank you enough? Your ministry has helped me develop spiritual disciplines necessary to grow in my relationship with our Lord. I used to listen regularly to Grace to You over a local radio station that carried it. We've been on in the Philippines for a long time. Now I listen on the internet. I study at a seminary in Asia and work for my tuition, board, lodging, and books. I work part-time here at an office at school, assisting one of the associate professors in Old Testament. Since we have internet access in the office, I'm now able to listen to you. Plus, I can download your podcasts for the purpose of reviewing again and again your teaching. Our Lord is surely good. Salamat. I guess that's thank you in Philippine language. Another letter comes from Norman to John MacArthur. Praise be to the Lord for this opportunity he has given me to give my thanks to you. I am a Filipino, 24 years old, blessed with a wife and two kids. I now live and work in Saudi Arabia. Before I left my country, I was ordained by my church to be a missionary in Saudi Arabia. Mr. John, I just want to thank you personally and your fellow workers who are faithful in Christ. Your website is a great blessing for me here, and I know that many here are also blessed by your ministry. I'm praying always that our God will continue to shower you with wisdom and goodness. Please pray for Saudi Arabia, that God's wisdom will be poured out in this land, that people can know their blindness. Together for Christ, then he signs his name, Norman. Wow, we're thrilled for opportunities God is giving us through radio, through internet, through podcasts as well. Join us, won't you, in praying that God's truth will change people all over the world.
Let us know that you're praying with us, that the Word of God, whether through this ministry or any other channels that God sees fit to use, would reach people worldwide who are starving for it. Get in touch with us today. Our mailing address is Grace to You, Post Office Box 4000, Panorama City, California, 91412. Keep in mind that Grace to You is a listener-supported outreach. Beyond the costs of airing radio broadcasts, your support enables us to maintain the website, to give away thousands of free Bible resources every year, including CDs and tapes and books and DVDs. If you're benefiting from Grace to You, let us know when you write. And thanks, too, for your tangible support. The address, Box 4000, Panorama City, California, 91412. And to make a donation through our website, just visit online at gty.org or call the toll-free number 1-800-55-GRACE. Now, this is a reminder, John MacArthur, our teacher here, serves as president of the Master's College and Seminary, both schools in Southern California. If you'd like information about the schools, go to the Grace to You website and you'll find links there to the college and seminary. We're online at gty.org. Or request information by dropping us a quick note. And our mailing address again is Box 4000, Panorama City, California, 91412. For John MacArthur, remember Grace to You on DirecTV on Sunday afternoons at 5 Eastern on Channel 378, and then be here tomorrow for another half hour of Unleashing God's Truth, one verse at a time, on the next Grace to You. Times 6,000 times 185,000. What does that have to do with God's holy angels? Find out tomorrow on the next Grace to You.